You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, so in our health and wellness segment this afternoon, we are talking about fibroids. Considering that this is Women's Month, right, this is one of the most common gynecologic conditions. Global trends and studies within Africa suggest high fibroid prevalence, especially among Black women, apparently, with estimates of up to 80% of women of African descent developing fibroids by age 50. That's crazy. Despite their pervasiveness, fibroid statistics are underestimated because many women go undiagnosed or may not seek medical care for their symptoms. So let's talk about it. Dr. Marion Atalagbe joining us on the line. Doc, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Oh, praise the Lord. I'm very well.
Absolutely. Love to hear that. Love to hear that. All right, Doc, we're talking about fibroids, apparently a very common condition. What exactly are fibroids? What causes them? Where do they come from?
Yes, fibroids, very common, as you mentioned already. Mm-hmm. And staggering, is disturbing. Hardly do you meet a woman that does not have the problem. Yeah. And today we are talking about 70% of women at some point in their lives having fibroids.
70%.
So what are fibroids? 70%. Yeah. And definition, it's a non-cancerous growth of fibroid cells in the uterus. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's a woman's problem. Okay. So it's also known as uterine leiomyomas or simply myomas. So it's very common in women of reproductive age, mm-hmm. and it develops during childbearing years.
Okay.
There are different types of fibroids, still looking at definition. The fibroid can grow in the wall of the uterus. That is, they call it intramural. It can grow on the outside of the uterus. It can be inside the uterine lining, submucosa, and it can be like a stalk, like a flower, inside or outside the uterus. Mm-hmm. So we can think of fibroids like knots in a tree. Some are small, mm-hmm. others grow very large. They can grow as large as a grapefruit. Mm-hmm. And then with the other parts that a woman may have, it can even look bigger, far bigger than that. But fibroids are really a nuisance in the woman's body.
And you say they can be the size of a grapefruit or sometimes even bigger. Can a woman feel them? Can you feel that there's something that has grown inside
of
you?
Absolutely.
There's a foreign thing inside of you?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I have helped to palpate, that is to feel, fibroids in women, as I have tried to help many women.
Whoa.
So you can actually palpate it. You can put your hand and you can hold it in your hand and actually feel the width and the breadth and see how big it is.
Yeah.
Aside from the picture in the ultrasound or X-ray, you can actually feel it with your hand. So it is very possible to feel that it is there. Yes, some are very small that you cannot actually be able to feel it anyhow, but some get that big that you can actually palpate it and see how big it is with your hand.
Okay.
So what risk factors? Them? Yes. This is what we so far have found.
Okay.
The causes of fibroid. From natural healthcare practitioners that I have learned from, listen to lectures and so forth. The core of the problem is hormones,
okay.
hormonal imbalances. But some, you know, look at family history, being overweight, obese, diet that is high in red meat and low in vegetables. Mm-hmm. But you see, all of these other factors are also responsible for hormonal imbalances.
Okay.
So they are very related. And so when we want to pin it down, that what really is the cause of this problem, hormone is the target that everybody is looking at. So we are looking at imbalances, especially in estrogen and progesterone.
Okay.
So Many women don't even know that they have fibroids, which they say is asymptomatic, is there. But if it doesn't give any problem, let sleeping dogs lie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it is when it begins to give symptoms and signs that it becomes really troublesome. Mm-hmm. And the places that we have seen symptoms of fibroids, heavy menstrual bleeding.
Right.
Painful periods, pelvic pain or pressure, frequent urination. When it gets that big, it can lean on the bladder. And so as soon as the bladder gets a little liquid, the pressure is there to go and pee. So frequent urination. Mm-hmm. Constipation, depending on also if it lays too close to the back of the body, towards the later part of the last part of the large intestine, it can cause constipation, and then back pain. Mm. Then some do report pain during sex, and then difficulty conceiving or carrying pregnancy. So I said earlier, not all fibroids cause symptoms.
Yeah.
And symptoms vary by size, by number, by location. Mm. It's really a troublesome problem. So how do we know that the problem is there? There's a need for proper diagnosis.
Yes.
But usually you can almost know once a woman starts having this heavy with clots,
mm-hmm.
and she's not pregnant.
Okay.
So the fibroid is highly suspected.
Okay.
Then there'll be bleeding, especially between periods. Mm-hmm. And severe pelvic pain. So when we rule out infection, pelvic infection,
mm-hmm.
the next thing that usually will cause serious pelvic pain is fibroids.
Hmm.
So it can cause frequent urination, and then the urination will be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like something is sitting on the pipe, let's call it the pipe for layman's language.
Right.
And it's not allowing the liquid to come out. Yes, you feel pressed to urinate, but then there's a heavy load that is blocking the pipe and not making it patent for the urine to pass out.
Yeah.
So it's really, for some people, it's really a big time trouble. But there's a need to diagnose properly,
mm-hmm.
to be sure that it is fibroid. So pelvic exam, ultrasound, some may need MRI,
mm-hmm.
and some may even need some scoping to see what is really going on there.
Yeah, yeah. I know next week we're going to talk about the treatment, the different methods of treatment, but when you mentioned that sometimes they're so small that they're hardly noticeable, if they are spotted in a scan or anything like that, and they are small, they're not really getting in the way, is it safe to leave them? Do they grow? Can they grow? Or is it better to just get rid of them, even if they're not really causing a problem in that moment?
General consensus is that it is better to leave them alone if they are not causing problem.
Okay.
Yes, they will grow bigger, but it is very slow. Okay. And if it does not give trouble, it's actually far, far, far better to leave it alone, because the risk of removing fibroids is very terrible.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. It is a high-risk surgery to remove fibroids. And so there are many methods that are used to relieve the problem. And one of the places that I will recommend that our listener may visit for more in-depth information is the UT Pines Institute counseling sheet. It's online.
Okay.
And there's a lot of materials there that one can look into before choosing the option of surgery.
Okay.
Because if it's not total removal of the womb, when the fibroid is attempted to be removed, usually many women die.
Oh, no. Wow.
And when the whole womb is removed, there are also complications.
Yeah.
One of the complications is just loss of calcium, emotional problems that accompanies the loss of the womb. Because you see, there are hormones that are produced by the presence of this in the body.
Yes.
And when they are taken out, it causes a lot of problems. So treating fibroid, yes, we'll look at it next week. But today, suffice it to really say and emphasize that if it's not giving any trouble, leave it alone. To be wanting to remove it, if by virtue of the fact that it's there, is really high risk.
Okay.
It's absolutely unnecessary.
Understood.
In fact, I learned that even if it's giving some problems, like bleeding a lot, well, get rid of the loss of blood in terms of replacing the blood during the that is lost during the period, and just keep postponing it, and hopefully it doesn't give too much trouble, because by menopause, the problem virtually ends.
Oh,
it shrinks
right
at menopause. And then the problem just, for many people, it stops right there. So if one can keep it till then, and yes, it will grow bigger, but not for not everybody. There are some things that will make it grow bigger,
right,
and that is consumption of animal food.
Right, right.
Yes, because estrogen, which is the primary hormone that is produced in excess, and the primary culprit of hormone imbalance, is encouraged. It's a growth hormone. And so it enables the fibroids to grow very fast.
Right.
So when a change of diet happens from an animal-based diet to a plant-based diet, the progress starts diminishing in terms of progress. It's no, it won't be growing as fast.
Yeah.
It will start just quieting down and staying possibly where it is. And then one can take care of other symptoms that are accompanied by it. So that diet part is very, very important. Whatever will help estrogen to have more production should be stopped.
Okay.
And that also includes stress, for that matter.
Right.
So it's very important that lifestyle changes accompany the knowing, the knowledge of fibroids.
Okay.
And I'm yet to meet a woman in childbearing age. Well, let me not put it that way. Let me say that I do have a lot of women. I mean, I meet those who have trouble. That's why.
Right.
So they usually, if I'm going to have a woman consult me for any gynecological problem, it's usually fibroids.
Right.
And so when we talk about treatment, especially in natural healthcare treatment, we are able to take care of the other option of the risk of going for surgery. Because usually in the orthodox medicine, that's the option they want to go for very quickly, surgery.
Yeah.
And it's not the best option. There are other options that are orthodox that are not necessarily surgery, removal of the fibroid. For instance, there's the burning of the fibroid so that blood supply ceases to the fibroid. And so it stops causing the bleeding that is given. And so there are other options like that. They cut off blood supply, they burn, they just put in a probe. Those ones are less invasive. A probe is introduced with anesthesia, and then the probe is heated and it burns the fibroid. And that also depends on where they are located.
Right.
Because they are located in different areas.
Yeah.
I remember a lady had one experience in which her general practitioner doctor told her when she complained about this every month losing blood. And the general practitioner said, well, go get a scan done. And so she came with a scan, and the doctor told her that, well, they are too small to be removed. We'll give you some steroids, drugs, and help to enlarge them. When they are enlarged, then we can do surgery. I mean, there are many things that some doctors can really think about doing because they like their knives.
Sure.
So
let's make it in the long run, so that we can get rid of them.
Exactly. In the long run, this person said, no, I don't want steroid drugs because steroid drugs will result in fibrotic lungs. And fibrotic lungs has no cure. So why try to get rid of something that is not terminal to go and get into an option of a side effect and a disease that there's no cure for, whether in natural healthcare, whether in orthodox healthcare? Because I worked as a respiratory therapist for many years, mm-hmm. and there's no cure for fibrotic lungs. So better to treat fibroids mm-hmm. than to treat a fibrotic lung. So these options, just for emphasis sake, like the option of not doing surgery, if there can be something that is done so that surgery is not done, it will be far better. In UT Pines Lifestyle Center, where I did intern for a little while, mm-hmm. they would advise that except it is life or death, which means the hemoglobin are so low that this lady can die, then go get the surgery done. Okay. But if you can still be able to keep your life going and you can still live with this to a large extent and make other things that we'll talk about in more details next time with me by the grace of God, mm-hmm. then it is better not to go for surgery. Okay. Too soon going for surgery, many people think, let me just get it out and get rid of it. No, it will grow back anyway.
It grows back.
After it is removed. Oh, yes. If you remove it, it grows back.
Yeah.
So that is why surgery usually wants to remove the whole womb.
Wow.
And just that means that, yes, you don't have a womb again. But a woman that is still wanting to have children, that is not an option for that person.
Yes.
They don't want the option. And you know, sometimes when they go there to remove fibroids, they'll go ahead and remove the appendix too. So it's complicated. Yeah. These people like their knives. I tell you, they love it. They like to cut. So what women go through, and as somebody said, what women carry is a lot, but please don't carry fibroids. It's a lot. So, you didn't get consent to remove appendix when you went in there, but she's sleeping under anesthesia. And I say, you know what? What's she even doing with this appendix? Pimp, cut it off.
Oh.
And just charge her for it. So, what's the big deal? So, it's a very complicated issue. And I'm glad that we are taking time to look at this in this time that is a Women's Month.
Yeah.
And it's something that really demands a lot of attention. And I tell you what, once I leave that UT Pines website, you can refer many women there to go and study the materials in that place. Mm-hmm. Even study it ahead of next week would be wonderful.
Yeah.
And maybe they have questions, they can send it in to you before we meet.
Sure.
That way they'll have more information and they'll be more educated.
Absolutely.
Because this is a very serious problem. And it's more prevalent, as you had rightly said, among Blacks than white.
Wow.
Yes, this is where we have it, and it's really deep. So it's
yeah. All right, we'll talk a little bit more about this next week. Thank you so much for coming through, Doc. Very important subject. Didn't realize how prevalent it was, but thank you so much for coming and sharing that information. I think it's very important. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sabbath ahead.
Thank you. God bless you too.
All right.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.